And her talk is the response of enzyme activities in agricultural soil fumigation with methyl bromide and alternative biocides and implications for agricultural sustainability.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This talk will be less philosophically than the previous talk. It will be really applied, but it also deals with soil fumigation. This work was done at Iowa State University, at University of California, Davis, in collaboration with Hussein Ajra and Veronica Acosta Martinez from the USDA in Lubbock, Texas. The concept of agriculture sustainability views soils as a fragile living media that needs to be protected to ensure further productivity and stability of our ecosystems. And certain components of soil management and affect agriculture sustainability have been studied in great detail. We have information on how crop rotation or fertilization, for example, affect soil microbial communities and their activities in soil. But we are lacking information on how soil fumigation affect those components. And I was very surprised, actually, when I came to California 8 years ago, that I've seen a bunch of research done on soil fumigation and effect on weeds and soil-borne pathogens and nematodes and insect pests, but only a few people really looked into how they affect beneficial organisms in the soil and soil nutrient cycling, organic matter turnover. Methyl bromide has been used over the past more than 40 years as a pre-plant soil fumigant, one of the most used fumigants worldwide in the US, and has been used in all different systems, in agriculture system, horticulture, and silviculture systems, to really ensure productivity of those systems. In California, for example, strawberries are produced year after year at the same ground. They may have one rotational crop, usually a vegetable crop, but then they go back to strawberry production because the ground is so expensive, not only the houses there, also the ground where the growers are growing. So they really want to go back quickly to high-value cash crops. And the same applies for ornamentals, which is also a big sector of California agriculture. However, studies have shown that during the fumigation or shortly after fumigation, usually between 24 hours of the application, large amounts of that fumigant escape the soil and go into the atmosphere, and there it is, the bromine and the methyl bromide destroys the ozone layer. And therefore, in the 90s, the parties of the methyl bromide, of the Montreal Protocol, agreed upon a stepwise reduction and of production and consumption of that material. And this led to a whole bunch of new research on alternative pesticides that can be used to replace methyl bromide. But all of those fumigants are biocides, so they kill most organisms if they are exposed to the materials and are not protected, like here, even human beings. Alternative fumigants that are the most promising were tested are chloropicrin, inline, which is a combination of 1,3-D chloroporphyrin and chloropicrin, potassium bromide, which we are not using anymore because it turned out to be highly explosive. So methyl iodide, which is the daughter molecule for methyl bromide, just that the bromide is subsidized by iodide. And then a whole array of methyl iodiazinate generators, MITC, and you may know them as Dazamid, Bazamid, or VPAM and KPAM. We heard a lot in the morning about how important soil enzymatic reactions are for soil functioning. They control organic matter degradation, and they participate in very specific key processes in the soil that turn over organic carbon or mineralize organic phosphorus and sulfur compound and set free plant available nutrients. We conducted two experiments. One was done under controlled condition, and I've referred to it as a microcosm study. We used a sandy loam soil, which is a very common soil in coastal California, where most of the strawberries are produced, low in organic matter. pH is hot, artificially at a neutral to alkaline range. Microcosms were sealed containers containing 500 grams of salts. We tested 6 fumigants, including methylbromide, which is our standard, industry standard, and we tested that against an untreated soil. All those treatment units were replicated 3 times. Soils were fumigated for 24 hours because field studies have shown then that's the time most of the material is vented into the atmosphere or degraded. We vented the micro jars and then incubated them over a 3-month period at room temperature. And then we took samples at 1, 3, 7, 14, 21, 28, and 90 days after the treatment. We looked into a whole array of microbial properties, including enzyme activities, which I will refer to today. The field study was done at the same location, same soil type. However, there was a real-world scenario. Soils were fumigated once a year and cropped with strawberries, and we took soil samples every fall after the fumigation and analyzed for enzyme activities and also microbial parameters. These are the results of the microcosm study, controlled environments. Analysis of variants showed that all the fumigant treatment and the time after treatment both affected the enzyme activities that were studied, as well as the interactions between those factors. When we subject this enzyme data to canonical discriminant analysis, we found 3 distinct groups of reactions to the salt treatment. Chloropicrin was grouped with the untreated control. Then we had a larger group containing this industry standard methylbromide, potassium bromide, inline, and methyl iodide in their effects on enzyme activities. And one group was completely separated, that is the MITC group. The 2 functions of the discriminant analysis explained about 96% of the variation in the enzyme data. Due to time limitations, I will not show the data on the time response of different enzyme activities, but there was a clear response up to 21 days after fumigation. After that, the decreases we saw were not significant. This table summarizes what we saw over the 90-day period. You first see differences in the response of different enzymes to the fumigant treatment. This is the average across all fumigants. And then within those different fumigant treatments, we also see differences in the toxicity of those materials. And in general, in the microcosm study, aryl sulfatase was the enzyme that was the most affected by fumigants, and beta-glucosidase was the least affected. Methyl iodide was most toxic, and chloropicrin was the least toxic fumigant. Unfortunately, and like usual, we had a little discrepancy between the results we saw in the lab and in the field. The hydrogenase activity, let's start with aryl sulfatase activity, that was almost not affected. We saw no significant effect of fumigants on this enzyme after repeated fumigation with all those materials tested also in the lab experiment. The hydrogenase activity was reduced, also treatment differences were not significant, by about 40% on average of all the fumigants, and methylbromide caused a higher reduction. You see the large data variation, even so we had 4 replicates in the field. So I guess we need more. Phosphatase and beta-glucosidase, which ranged in the lab experiment in the middle section, so were intermediate affected, were most affected, and we see significant effect of the fumigants. But only the methylbromide really caused a significant reduction between 30% and 50% of the untreated control, and that's all after repeated application, the 2nd year of fumigation. In summary, we were able to show that soil fumigation can affect enzyme-governed processes in the soil. We show differences in the biocidal effects of the different fumigants we tested, and methyl iodoisinate was the most toxic. And also we show differences in the response of individual enzymes to the fumigation. We also saw differences in the response of those enzymes between the lab and the field experiments, and in general, methyl bromide appeared to be more toxic in the field than in the lab. And we tried to explain that methyl bromide is the only material that was Schenck applied in the soil at a depth of 12 to 14 inches, where all the other materials, the alternative materials, are usually applied under drip application, because you just treat the area that's actually planted, so you can cause a reduction in pesticide use. And this application happens between 2 and 4 inches of the soil. Those materials have to be moved by water. This material is has a high vapor pressure. It moves as a gas, and so it can move much farther and quicker in a field scenario. That may have caused a more efficient control of or kill of those enzymes. But the variations in the response of enzyme activities to that treatment can also be related to the fumigant application technique. That's what I just saw, drip versus Schenck application. The chemical nature of those materials, they have different, they vary in their half-life times in the soil, or into related to the sources of enzyme, because different parts of the microbial population are differently affected by the treatment, or of their location in the microsite, in the soil microsite. So we have extracellular activities of enzymes, and they may be protected by being, trapped into organic colloids or clay colloids. So all of the fumigants have the potential to alter enzyme reactions, and that's important if we select alternative fumigants for specific systems. We have to consider that we should not only look into their effects on pest control and yield, but also in the effects on long-term sustainability of those agriculture systems. Thank you. Yes, sandy loam. Mm-hmm.
Do you think your results would have been different if you'd used different soil types?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Would it just have been less effective, do you think?
The differences that we would see, first of all, will be related to the way the fumigants could move in different soil types. In more clay soils, you really have not the same efficacy. You need to use much higher rates to get, because they don't move as far.